Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
You know, every year at this time, it's been cool the last, week maybe?
Yeah.
And it makes me ready for fall.
Yeah, it's like a teaser.
Dude, bonfires, bourbons, cool weather fishing.
Cider beer, Angry Orchard.
Football.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Hey,
Chiefs first preseason game Saturday.
Dude, preseason games.
Yeah.
Start this weekend.
Yeah.
It's crazy how fast summer goes.
Yep. Gets here quick.
It's great, but man, I do love me some fall.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I got, counting down, what do we got, like maybe six to eight more weekends of good boating weather, max.
Yeah, well, for you.
Yeah, I mean, we run it.
Because you don't fish.
Yeah, we run it deep into the, we'll wetsuit and stuff.
I was going to say, you have wetsuits.
Yeah.
So when you wetsuit it, is it just you and Mason? Because I know your wife ain't going out there when it's cold.
No, she'll go out there. She'll just be in, sweats and a hoodie. And then our boat has heaters.
It has heaters in it?
Yeah, and they're ducted, and there's flex duct behind there, and you can pull them out and shove it under your shirt.
Or
stick it up your pant leg.
Does it have the clip that clips on your wetsuit if you're wearing it?
No, so they make a blanket called a Surfinity blanket where the heater will actually connect to the blanket, and it puffs the blanket up with hot air. But
I love the water. Yeah. I love summertime. No thanks.
Yeah, it's...
fucking no thanks.
Where the heaters really come in is, on a 75-degree day when the water is 65 degrees, that lake, the air above the lake is a little chilly.
Yeah.
And it's it's...
You want to dry out, warm up a little bit.
Yeah, it's close to being tolerable. You're not going to use the boat in 40-degree air,
You know, we say that, and then I see guys on the East Coast, they have to wear wetsuits the majority of the year anyway.
Yeah.
But then it's cold out, and you'll see them... Full wetsuit. They'll be out there surfing. It's like, dude.
Yeah, those are probably dry suits at that point.
Those guys are tougher than me.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm not going out there. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I'll fish when it's snowing and there's ice on the lake, but I'm not getting in the fucking water, man.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm not doing it. How was your cruise?
So it was good.
So we were on hiatus last week.
Yeah,
we took a week off. We had the event, and then Dave worked. And Mitch went on a fucking cruise.
Yeah.
And we didn't do the podcast last week.
Right.
That's number four that we've missed, maybe.
Yep. Sometimes we'll bank a couple of shows and bridge the gap, but we didn't do that.
Well,
honestly. We were busy.
We haven't had the need to.
Yeah.
Because we'd been so regular, but yeah. So how was the cruise?
Was it good? Awesome.
Was it fantastic?
Yeah, no, it was great.
It wasn't the poop cruise on Netflix.
It wasn't the poop cruise, and we didn't choose a carnival cruise, so we didn't get to watch any brawls or people getting out of line or anything like that.
Okay.
We were on Norwegian, which...
Is that the Netherlands? Sweden?
No, I don't know.
Norwegian?
Norwegian Cruise Lines, NCL.
shows what I know.
But, yeah, not a crazy... it's a giant friggin' boat that holds 2,500 people, 2,500 guests... and 1,500 employees, but it was a blast. It was fun. So the first time the boys have ever been on a cruise. One of the ports we went into, there were four or five cruise boats there, and we thought our boat was big until it's parked next to all the others. These other boats were literally twice the size of ours, twice as wide, twice
carnivals?
As tall, twice. No, the big ones are Royal Caribbean.
Oh yeah,
it seems like that's Royal Caribbean's got the big ships out right now.
Yeah,
so
that's the poop cruise.
I don't know.
I can't remember which one the poop cruise was.
But yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got to swim with pigs, got to take center console boats across the ocean. We went to a bar.
What?
This house is on stilts in the middle of the water, not connected to land by a dock or anything.
Love it.
And it's a bar.
Just got steps up and a little floating dock swim to.
We just parked the boat right up to the dock, ate at the bar, ate some food.
What?
And it's like a little restaurant bar thing, and then went back to the ship.
What is swimming with pigs?
There's an island off Nassau.
Okay.
That has pigs on the island.
Okay. Yeah. And got it. Everyone loves a good pork chop.
I think it's called Rose Island. And so you used to be able to go out there, and they would just kind of be. Sometimes they were there, sometimes they were not. And then they realized it's a big enough tourist attraction that they actually. I don't say captured, but really, they kind of captured these pigs. They've got them in like a penned area, and then
do they actually swim? I guess is
yes.
My question.
Yeah.
So they let them go. You're in the water. They swim out to you to eat. I'm assuming you're feeding them.
Yeah. They give you a cup full of like chopped up apples, and then like shish kebab skewers, and they don't want anybody getting their fingers bit off. So the skewers 12 inches long,
you know. A boar will fuck you up.
And yeah, you reach in there and you poke a little apple on there, and they let the pigs out of the pens, and the pigs know the routine. Like they run straight to the water. They go to get their apples. And
are they big?
Yeah.
Like a boar? See the photo?
Yeah.
Or are they like little, you could pick them up?
Well, so we got to hold a 14-day-old piglet.
Okay.
And then so they've got one that was probably 300 pounds.
Holy, and it swims?
Yeah, oh yeah. They swim great. They actually swim really well.
Get the fuck out of here.
They're very buoyant. It's like a manatee almost. But
I was going to say a liberal chick in college, but whatever.
Very buoyant. The blue hair makes them float better.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll tell you like hold the skewer off to the side. Don't hold it out front and don't hold it close to your junk because that pig doesn't know the difference between your dick and that apple. And if
getting a hot dog too, bitch.
The guy flat out says, guys, you got to watch out because you got a dangly bit out front. And that pig don't know the difference. He's going for that apple, and if it's close to your part.
Dude, could you imagine? What happened to you? Dude, I have my dick bit off. That is
by a
not,
pig in the ocean.
No one's believing that story ever, unless you show them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Got to do some snorkeling, swim with some sea turtles, all this stuff. We had these little cases you can put your phone in, take your phone underwater and take pictures and shit. And did all that. Did some kayaking around one of the other islands.
I do like snorkeling. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did you see anything good?
Sea turtles and some fish.
Do they have a good reef that you can go down, or is it just kind of, you're
really.
Off the beach a little ways?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reef, but it's not bright and colorful like the Caribbean. The Bahamas is not quite as
I know.
Tropical as the Caribbean. But, I got to do some snorkeling, got to see some stingrays.
Manatees?
No, stingrays. Stingrays. Got to see a couple of those. Got to see an island that apparently Pablo Escobar used to own, and apparently there's still a couple of planes that were crashed on the island that they're just still there.
Do you get to go like explore the island, or they just point it out and say
they say that that's it, and then they're like, we don't really go, like, he doesn't own it anymore, but like people that go try to check it out run into problems, and so we just stay away from it.
Just go walk on with your hands up, like, hey, look,
yeah.
I'm just looking for some cocaine.
Yeah.
Don't shoot me.
Yeah, I'm just looking through this plane rubble.
please help me.
Yeah.
Don't shoot me.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. All you can drink, all you can eat, everything.
I'm going to say something that we tell our guys not to say all the time. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
I worked. You're welcome.
Yeah, well, you know.
I know.
Your time's coming.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go. I'm going on a fishing trip with my brother in September, so that'll be fun.
There we go.
Be fantastic. Disconnect for a few days. It'll be nice.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So, okay. What do you want to talk about?
Today,
I mean, I know what you want to talk about. Why don't you tell everyone else what we're going to talk about?
We're going to rehash the episode number five, that talks about banking and accounting and money and all those kinds of things. And so in the original core episode, like we've actually learned a fair amount more than what the original core episode was. And so essentially, just to kind of jump into things, you are a tradesman. You're not an accountant. You're not a business owner yet, or maybe you're a new business owner, but you definitely have more skill in your trade than you do in business. And so one of the things that you want to recognize right out of the gate is you want to recognize things that are in your wheelhouse and things that aren't. And things that aren't in your wheelhouse, you need to pay somebody else to do for you.
Yep.
For instance, you don't know how to make t-shirts, so you had to pay somebody to make t-shirts. You probably don't know how to do bookkeeping, so you might have to pay somebody to do that. If you have a partner or a spouse or something like that that can figure it out, that's a good way to go. That's how I did it. My wife was very gifted in software systems, and she could understand software very fast. She may not understand what the end goal was, but she understand how to function in the software. And so, like, when we started out, my wife was our bookkeeper, and we had an agreement with our accountants that we knew if we got to pay extra for this, we will, but like, there's going to be times where you have to teach us, if we're not doing something right in QuickBooks, you have to teach us how to do it right.
Yeah.
In other words, the better you teach us, the better financials you get to do our accounting. And so that's kind of how we ran when we started out. But if you don't have the option to have a spouse or a partner or something like that do the books, then you're going to have to pay for it. And a bookkeeper's going to run you $300 to $400 a month. It's worth their weight in gold. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
In the earlier episodes, we were being fairly generic about accounting software. We know enough now to really kind of steer everybody towards QuickBooks. No, QuickBooks does not sponsor the show or anything like that. We don't even care if you sign up for QuickBooks or not. It's just the most commonly used banking bookkeeping software. And so that's an area where commonality is key, because when it comes to getting questions answered and things like that, there are more people using QuickBooks than anything else. And so you're going to get better data, better questions. Other revelations that have happened since we started this show is we now have ChatGPT and AI, which we barely did back then, right? And so now it used to be a thing where you might have to ask the accountant or the bookkeeper how to do something. You might have to get trained on it. Well, now you can just plug it into ChatGPT and you can say, my financials are showing this. I'm stuck on this thing. I have an imbalance somewhere or whatever, and ChatGPT can spit the answer out for you. It's pretty cool how you can solve problems with ChatGPT. So obviously that's not the focus of this show is chat, but just know that you're going to need a good bookkeeping software, and QuickBooks is probably it. I know there are CRMs out there that do bookkeeping as well. It's always a nightmare. House Call Pro, for example, they like to say they're bookkeepers. I'm not knocking House Call Pro, but I like to refer to House Call Pro as the Walmart of CRMs. They do everything, but they do nothing to an incredibly high level.
Yeah, they actually have an issue with dealing with QuickBooks.
Yes.
And they're, like, depending on who your sales rep is or whoever your contact is, they may be able to help sort it out. You may be screwed.
Yeah.
Like it's been a glaring issue for them for a while. I think they're making some headway and they're getting some of it figured out, but like it is an issue.
Yeah.
Like not to knock House Call, because to be honest, you say that Walmart of CRMs, I actually like it a lot.
Well,
and a lot of guys in TradeWinds like it because it's simple and it works.
Well, and that's why
other
I say
other than dealing with QuickBooks.
Yeah. And that's why I say I'm not knocking them for being this way. But like Walmart, they're a powerhouse, right? And who doesn't love a good 3 a.m. trip to Walmart, right? But
that's a weird thing to say, but okay. Yeah,
but,
go ahead.
You know, the old comedians back in the day, they would joke around about the Walmart, you know, grocery, clothes shopping, beauty supply, pharmacy, hair care, tire center, airport.
Get you some fishing hooks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they do everything, right?
Right.
But who's going to be better at hunting supplies, Walmart or Bass Pro Shops?
That's right.
Bass Pro, right? Who's going to be better at automotive care, Walmart or like your, you know, Meineke's or whatever,
Goodyear,
right?
Yeah.
Like Walmart does everything. They just don't do anything to an incredibly high level. House Call Pro is the same way. They do everything. They have a phone answering service. They have a CRM. They have a bookkeeping software. They have an advertising platform. Like, they do all these things, but it's like an entry-level version of those things. And so just keep that in mind, that they're not a one-stop shop. You could use House Call Pro's phone answering service and as a bridge to getting your own.
Yes.
You could use House Call Pro's bookkeeping service as a bridge to getting your own, and so on. But
I mean, I think both of us can be pretty confident when we say this, not to speak for you, but QuickBooks is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get QuickBooks is to have an accountant that uses QuickBooks,
mm-hmm.
because they actually get a discount instead of you getting it on your own. So once you've, before it was get QuickBooks, get an accountant. Now it's vet your accountant, get someone you know you're going to work well with, and then get QuickBooks through your accountant.
Yep.
Because you're going to get a discount. Now, if after that you decide you're going to fire your accountant or whatever, you can still keep your QuickBooks at that rate or get that rate through the next accountant
through
that you
accountant.
Get.
Yeah.
If when you're vetting accountants, thinking about accountants and all that, and they're like, oh no, we don't get a discounted rate through QuickBooks, blah, 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 blah. Don't use them.
Yeah, find a different one.
Don't even waste your fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, just make sure that you can get your QuickBooks through them. They can be the admin, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
That is the easiest, most convenient way to get started with your business. I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but that is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, we can definitively say that's the easiest, best way to do it.
Yeah.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And as we're coaching guys in Tradewinds and everything else, so far we don't have anybody that's not using QuickBooks as we're looking at people's financials. But like, that's another reason we encourage it, is because it is so common. Like, somebody could share their screen on Zoom, we could jump into their financials and very quickly navigate where to go because we're all familiar with QuickBooks.
Yeah, and an accountant is the same way.
And QuickBooks is like $35 a month. Like,
it's more than that now. I think it's $69 now. Yeah, it's nothing.
It's nothing compared
it
to
is
the...
It is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, compared to the headaches it results.
I will say this, and we've dealt with guys in Tradewinds that, you know, and it's no knock on them because they haven't learned. You know, we'll say, hey, pull this up, pull that up, blah, 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 and they don't know. QuickBooks tutorials online are free.
Mm-hmm.
Before you start your business, get to know QuickBooks.
Yeah.
Get to know the basics. Even if you're not going to be the quote-unquote bookkeeper or whatever,
yep.
you still need to be able to look at reports. You still need to know, you know, what coding is, as mm-hmm. far as GL coding, like what everything means. Guys, take 5 minutes and watch, I should say 5 minutes, take 5 hours and watch some YouTube tutorials on how QuickBooks works.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, it's invaluable, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I know on the last show we talked about CRMs, and we kind of told everybody, check out quite a few CRMs and go with the one you're most comfortable with. Make sure that your CRM links to QuickBooks.
Are there any, I don't mean to interrupt you, are there any that don't?
I'm not aware of any.
I'm not either.
But you want to make sure that they do, and then also you want to make sure that your bank links to QuickBooks, because all three of those talking to each other makes your life a lot easier, makes your bookkeeper's life a lot easier. Because what'll happen is you're going to go make a sale and record that sale in your CRM, call it a $5,000 sale. So now your CRM is posting a sale for $5,000. QuickBooks is now seeing that. QuickBooks is looking for that $5,000 to hit the bank, because they're also looking at your bank. And then QuickBooks is looking for all of the costs associated to that $5,000. Material costs, labor costs, permits, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so all three of those digitally linking together through the internet makes everybody's life a whole lot easier. I can log into my QuickBooks and it'll tell me the financial performance of my business, but it will all, and it'll tell me, you know, our sales for last month, all of our costs for last month, and it'll even tell me how much is in my bank account right now. I don't even have to log into my bank account.
Yeah.
And it'll tell me how many transactions pending for accuracy of the bank account number. Like, yeah. In other words, it'll say, I'm just going to use round numbers. It'll say you have like 75 grand in the bank with three transactions pending. Okay, well, maybe I don't quite have 75. There's three transactions pending. Maybe it's deposits, maybe it's withdrawals. I don't know.
It could be more or less.
Right. But if it says you have 75 grand in the bank and no transactions pending, then I don't even need to go look at my bank account because QuickBooks is seeing it.
You know what I do like about that specifically is it kind of gives you a foreshadowing mm-hmm. and a reminder of what you may or may not be waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like an AR check
yeah.
without you actually having to check your AR accounts receivable yep. for those that don't know that. You know what I mean? And it kind of keeps it front of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I know that I find it extremely helpful because you and I use Stripe
yep.
for Tradewinds, you know? Mm-hmm. So it allows me to almost know what's coming, what's about to go out, and I can almost forecast
mm-hmm.
where we're going to be so that I can plan for, like when we have the events, I can plan, okay, we're going to have this money coming in. I know for the event, I'm short whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know that money's coming. I have it set aside for the event.
Yep.
It's very nice when yeah. all of those things are working in tandem.
Yeah. And on the subject of banks, when you're opening your business bank account, you want to make sure that you open your business bank account not at the same bank that you have your personal bank account at. The reason why is you're trying to create a condition to where it is very difficult for you to spend business money personally. And you need to look at them like they are two separate financial
entities. Yes.
And all too often, people start in business and their business bank account gets a couple grand in it. And they're like, oh, I'm rich. Well, your business might be. You might not be. Right. And so if you want to be, well, then you have to move that money from the business to you in the right fashion. And it's one of the big red flags with the IRS is open and freely moving money from business to personal and back and forth. And so you want to make sure that you keep those as separate as possible. And so our business bank is Blue Ridge Bank and Trust. They're a local bank here in the Kansas City area. And our personal bank is U.S. Bank. The two are completely disconnected from each other. Those two banks don't even talk to each other. And so if we want to move money from the business to our personal bank, we have to go to the bank and take out a withdrawal or write a check
to
ourselves personally. And then that all gets recorded properly, right? So other perks of doing that is you don't accidentally move money. Like if we had our business bank at U.S. Bank and I had two U.S. bank cards and I'm trying to remember which one's business and which one's personal, that can be a problem. And so, you know, you separate them that way as well.
Yeah, it is very, the only reason I'm going to say this is to bust your balls because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when you have more than one business, even though those bank cards are dissimilar,
mm-hmm.
it's still very easy to accidentally
mm-hmm.
spend money from one business, your personal, the next business, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So in your due diligence, having those as separated as possible is a great way, that was completely distracting,
yeah.
is a great way to, you know, hedge your bets, if you will, as to not get them confused. I mean, like Mitch has even bought stuff for Smedley Plumbing using his Tradewinds card by
yep,
accident.
By accident, because they were both Amexes.
Because, yeah, they were both Amexes.
Yeah.
But that's a great example for if they're both of your business cards look the same, all your debit cards look the same, mm-hmm. it's even easier to make that mistake.
Yeah.
I think on the original episode, like I even said, I did that two or three times.
Yep.
Even though mine were separated.
Yeah.
It was like, ah, shit.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, whatever you can do to keep those apart from each other, whatever you have to do, you got to do it.
Yep.
Like, because you can get in, like, you don't get into trouble, but it's a pain in the ass. You got to call the accountant.
Yep.
They've got to make a general journal entry. Yep. If you don't know how to do that, it's just a big fucking headache that no one wants to deal with.
Yeah. The other part is when you have separate institutions to run those, it makes the business feel more legit. It makes it feel like it's above board instead of kind of flying under the radar. But it also makes it easier for you to clearly understand where you are financially in the business. When everything's muddled together and merged, your personal finances and your personal bills get mixed up with the business finances and the business bills, and you don't know where you're at in either of them.
Yeah.
Whereas if there are two separate banks and you've got one bank account that's growing and one bank account that's shrinking, it makes it a lot easier to understand all of that.
What's going on.
Right. there is a book out there that I encourage everybody read. I don't necessarily encourage everybody do, but having this perspective is, you cannot put a value on having this perspective. And that book is called Profit First. And essentially, the high-level overview of Profit First is profit is the sole reason we're in business, and so it should be the first thing we pay. And so, like, typically how most businesses work is they bring in money. And let's say they bring in $1,000. And now I got to pay my day labor guy $200. So now my labor's covered. And now I got to buy the $200 in parts. So now I'm left with $600, right? I've got $400 in bills. I'm left with $600. Well, now I got to pay a couple $100 for my CRM. And I got to pay myself. And I got to pay the light bill. And then if I'm lucky, anything left over is profit. Okay? That's how most people view business finances. Profit First, the concept there is profit is the most important thing in your business. Pay that bill first. And so they look at it like treating, they want you to open a profit account, a separate bank account just for profit. And they want you to put money, if you bring in $1,000 and you're hoping for 20% net profit, then, or like your goal is 20% net profit, if you bring in $1,000, they want you to take $200 and move it to your profit account. And then you're left with $800 to pay the rest of your bills. And it puts the priority on profit. And the logic there is we get very resourceful whenever things run out of money. The problem is if profit last, like, okay, so the book is called Profit First. The opposite of that would be profit last, right? And so if we put profit last, then we don't have enough money to be resourceful and end up with profit. Whereas if we put profit first and we of that $1,000 sale, we put $200 in the profit account, and now we got to pay all the other bills with the $800. It's like in the book, they reference it as a tube of toothpaste. We've all gotten to the last little bit of toothpaste in the tube. And next thing you know, we get really creative with special folding techniques, and we get all the strength available in our thumb to squeeze that last little bit out. And we're like stomping on it. We're rubbing it on the edge of the counter to try to get as much toothpaste as we can out of there, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea there is put profit first. And now when you're squeezing all the little leftover bits of toothpaste out, that's to pay your bills.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
Yeah. And the thought process there is people will, when they're not taking profit out first, they will just in their mind's eye be like, oh, we have money for this. We have money for that. I can do this. I can do that. And they're not as budget conscientious if that money is still in there as their quote unquote slush fund or whatever. And what they end up doing is they end up spending their profit before the end of the month.
Yeah.
And regardless of what it's on, taking the guys to lunch, whether it's, you know, buying this extra...
Buying a new tool.
New tool, sewer machine, camera, whatever, mm-hmm. that they may not have needed, right? But when profit comes out first and the last thing of the month is to pay the light bill and you need that,
mm-hmm.
like you will find the money to make it happen.
Right, right.
You know, I do think it's a very good way to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
I have never... full transparency, never done it that way.
No.
Because I am very tight, I guess is what I should say.
Disciplined with
no,
your finances.
I'm tight as shit. You know, I'm tight, I am very disciplined. But it is a very good way if you are first starting out, if you are not as disciplined,
yep.
to look at profit.
Yeah.
And even the fact, even if you don't do it, but read it and then understand it,
mm-hmm.
and then can make yourself more disciplined because of it, mm-hmm. it's worth the read,
yeah.
I think.
So another extra layer, and again, we're not suggesting you do it this way. It's just a great, the more perspective we have, the more confident we are in our forward actions.
The bigger your overview and the more you can take in and understand,
yeah.
the better off your business is.
Yeah. And so another perk of doing the profit first method is... now you have this account that's all your profit. And the other account can run down to zero, and it doesn't matter is if your bills are paid.
If your bills are
because
paid,
because yeah. you got this profit account. Well, if you're ever wondering what your tax liability is, you can easily factor 30% of whatever's in your profit account over that period. Whatever you've added to the profit account over that period. So,
yes.
And if it's in the account, you've got the money to pay the taxes.
Yes.
So
it's much more transparent.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it a little cleaner. Now, chances are your accountant won't like you if you do profit first. I've never met an accountant that does simply because
they hate profit.
Well, not necessarily that. It's just it adds a lot of extra emotion in your books because now you've got multiple bank accounts and everything else. And if you go the full depth of the profit first method, they will actually run multiple accounts based off your budget. So you're going to have a profit account, you're going to have a field labor account, you're going to have a materials account, you're going to have an overhead account.
You got to be a numbers nerd.
Yeah.
And very, very good with your books
right.
to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why accountants don't really like it. It's because it's connecting a whole lot of different accounts to your books.
It's very easy to get confused that way too.
Yeah.
Especially if you're new in business, do not do that.
Yeah, yeah. The reason I spent so much time on the 20% of the profit side of things is
I love it.
You can at least admire that piece of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the one last thing about the profit account that they talk about in the book is your profit account goes to a bank that is a arduous journey to get to.
Arduous.
In other words, it's not, you don't have digital access to the profit account. You have to drive to the bank to withdraw money out of the profit account. In other words, we want to make it very difficult for you to dip into profit. We want you to find the money somewhere else. And so like they reference like find a bank 30 minutes away and no digital connectivity and like go dump your profit there because now it's going to be a pain. If you ever need that money, now you have to drive 30 minutes to go get it and it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And that's like you were saying before, that's a lack of discipline play. Like if you don't have discipline, do that.
Well,
because it forces you to do the easier thing first, which isn't pull from your profit.
And it takes discipline to stay on that theory too,
yeah.
right? But those are the guys that are like the guys that do, I know a couple of guys that do the profit first method. We have a couple of them in TradeWinds that do it. And I mean, they guaranteed hit their profit number every month.
Yep.
Whereas when you don't do the profit first method, you're kind of at a gamble. We were talking about this morning. We're fresh off of July and I have a rough idea of about how much net profit we'll have for July. But that's like a $20,000 swing from the low number to the high number for net profit. Whereas if I was doing the profit first method, I could tell you exactly how much profit we had for July because it would already be in the bank.
Yeah, you just look at that account.
Yeah.
It says $19,462.73.
Yeah. Done.
Okay.
Got it.
Nice right? work.
So, you know, as like, don't just go get an account at the local bank. Like, make sure that your account has digital connectivity so that it can sync to QuickBooks, it can sync to your CRM, and all of those things kind of flow together. let's talk about.
Do you want to talk? Do you want to talk accountants first,
yes.
And then we'll talk a little bit about why all of this is important?
Yeah.
Uptime versus downtime.
Yeah. So accountants.
Do you want to talk about how you've fired 7 since the first episode?
I'm on my 3rd. So when I opened my business,
I think it's funny, man.
I fired my first accountant in under 2 months in business. And when I say fired, I mean, that's technically what I did, but we didn't leave on bad terms. I just realized I made a poor decision in choosing that accountant.
You didn't make a poor decision. You just, they were not your ideal accountant.
Yeah. And you don't know what you don't know. And
yeah.
At the time, it was the best decision I could have made at the time.
Yeah, that's why.
But
it's
then
not
as
a wrong
I learned
decision.
Over the
yeah.
next 6 to 7 weeks, I realized this is not what I want from an accountant. There's a difference between tax accountants and bookkeeping accountants. And so you got to make sure that you're dealing with a tax accountant. Because when you think accountant, you're thinking tax strategy. You're thinking, I need to have a consistent relationship with my accountant at least quarterly to go over what's my tax liability. What do I have coming up next quarter? So my accountant can now advise me, do I need to make a quarterly tax payment or do I not? There's times where my accountant tells me make a quarterly tax payment. There's times where my accountant says don't make a quarterly tax payment because when you have this big expense coming up next quarter, then it'll offset
yeah.
this expense. So having that relationship and that it's a tax strategist really is what it is key. Now, there are other people that will call themselves accountants, but they're really bookkeepers. And that's what I ran into with my first accountant. I thought she was a tax accountant and I thought all accountants were the same. And I learned very quick that she is not a tax accountant. And I was asking her questions about like, how does this affect my taxes? Well, you'll have to ask your tax person. And I'm like, that's you. You're my accountant. And she goes, no, I'm not a tax accountant. Oh.
Shit.
Well, I got the wrong accountant, right?
Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't pay her very much. Like I said, we left on great terms. But then I flipped over to another accountant that knew taxes very well, ran his business very poorly, and he filed extensions on my behalf, and I didn't like that. I don't want extensions. And so when it comes to picking an accountant, come up with a list of demands for your accountant that you will hold them accountable to. Because you're going to sign an agreement. You're going to sign like a contract with your accountant about how much they're going to charge you to do your books. And if they're going to make you sign something saying you're going to pay this much for accounting, you can make them sign something saying, well, if I'm paying you this much, you're going to deliver these deliverables. And one of those deliverables is if for your bookkeeper slash accountant, whatever, you want your books from last month done by a certain day the following month. In other words, how do I know how to run my business in August? If I got my ass kicked in July and I don't know it yet, I could be getting my ass kicked in August too. And so I need July's numbers fast so that I can make sure that I'm still going down the right path for August, right?
Yes.
I don't want to wait. I don't want to be 4 months away from July to finally get July's numbers and then realize a mistake we were making and we've been making for 4 months, right?
Yeah. And we actually... We talked about this a little bit in that episode, and we have talked about it a ton over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Bookkeepers do not necessarily understand how your business is going to run, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if at all possible, if you can keep bookkeeping in-house or at least have someone that understands the bookkeeping process
right.
and where things are going, do that.
Yeah.
Because it makes it easy for you to pull that P&L up at any time and know where am I at?
Right.
What was my profit? What is going on?
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you have to outsource your bookkeeping and they can't keep up with it on a monthly basis, like you were just saying,
mm-hmm.
how am I supposed to know what to do next month?
Right.
It's impossible. My accountant now, like we had a very difficult time last year and the year before because our communication wasn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this a long way around to make your point that you just said. I didn't know where I was going to stand because I didn't have things in writing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that if I don't have everything to them by February 14th, that I'm going to have to file an extension. Like, I didn't know that.
Right.
I wish I would have known that when we started. Mm-hmm. To your point, make sure you understand what their expectations are. Make sure they understand what your expectations are. And have a plan in place between your bookkeeper for every month, your accountant for every quarter, your accountant for at the end of the year, so that you can plan and know what's going to be coming down the pike. Because if not, you turn around and you're like, oh, I didn't know I had to pay $20,000 in quarterly taxes for the first, you know, for Q2.
Right.
And that's a, like, it can be, we know guys, I almost said someone's name on the podcast, that literally are in tax debt up to their ass.
Yeah.
And didn't know because they didn't have a plan in place through bookkeeping or accounting for 2 years at a whack.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's impossible.
You can get yourself into a hole real fast. So the reason you want fast financials is, I'll reference like sports, for example, like take an NFL football game. If two teams are supposed to be closely matched, but you go into the halftime break and one team is like blowing out the other, not getting fast financials would be like those teams not reviewing film or not talking strategy or anything about how to turn it around in the second half. And so if they don't get fast analytics of their performance on the field, then they're going to get blown out in the second half too.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have to take what we've learned, what's working, what's not working, and tweak it, and then go apply what we've learned, right? That's the same in business. I need to charge hard into July, and then I need to get my financials back from July to see if what I was doing was working. And okay, we got our material costs down, but our labor costs went up. All right, so now, like, we're good on material. Now I got to focus on labor. It essentially, your books are like game film for your business. And the more often you can watch game film, the better your team's going to be. The more often you can understand game film, the better your team's going to be. The more often and the better you understand your financials, the better your business is going to be.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about if you can keep that bookkeeping in-house. That is understanding the game film.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally, I can go over to the sideline in the NFL and that tablet comes up from 37 seconds ago and I can see those last three plays and know what I fucked up.
Yeah. I'll know why the guy didn't get open.
Yeah.
Because he was blocked deep by an extra guy or something.
And we say it all the time, time is money.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to financials, it's even more relevant.
Yeah. In business, money loves speed. And so the faster you can get results, the more money you'll make.
Yeah.
I had
written down a couple of things. You know, in that first episode, we had kind of talked about how to spot a bad accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, like, a few things that were very obvious. And I want to get your opinion on if you think they're still the same.
Yep.
Question dodging. Not getting an answer within a few hours via email or a week later.
Yeah, that's obviously a very bad
still
sign.
A red flag, right?
If they can't answer your question within a day or two, then they're not going to get your taxes done in a timely fashion.
Yeah. Not in agreement as far as, and I'm not saying that you're going to agree with your accountant all the time, but not in agreement with as far as where we're going and how we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a red flag.
Yep.
And a lot of that is not in agreement is with your goals as a business as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if your goal or your plan is to make $1 million next year and they're not in agreement with how you want to get there, you know, Mitch, you're spending too much money, bud. I don't think you should be doing that.
Right.
They're not a cheerleader in your corner.
Right.
That's a problem. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're doing anything wrong.
Right.
Per se. But if you guys aren't rowing in the same direction, and I know we've said that a ton on the podcast, that's a problem.
Well, and some of that's just inherent. You'll find, so accountants work in the past because they're literally only accounting for financial transactions that have already existed.
Yeah.
Right. And so because accountants work in the past, accountants by nature are naturally very conservative. And they, like, you would never want an accountant to make big decisions in a business. I call accountants bean counters.
They are bean counters.
Because they're only counting after the harvest, right? You can't count beans until you've harvested them. And so Because of the bean counter side of things, they love to Monday morning quarterback stuff.
Yeah.
Because they only work in the past.
You could literally have 10 months of everything being the same for 10 months. And they're like, well, the next 2 months may not be that way.
Right.
Even though you're running your business as if those next 2 months are going to be the same.
Yeah.
Because I have to.
Yeah.
Because if not, these employees don't have a fucking paycheck.
Right. Right.
And so there is a natural disconnect that happens
yeah.
between business owners and accountants, which is, to my point, you want one that can maybe be on your side when it comes to that forecasting outlook
yeah.
and not just be stuck in the past 100%.
Yeah. Our accounting firm that we use, another red flag for accountants, I don't know if this is on your list or not, is super cheap accountants.
No, that's not, but that's a good point.
I mean, my business does over $1 million a year, and my accountant charges me $10,000 a year. It's $2,500 a quarter, and that's just for accounting. That does not include filing fees. That's like an extra $1,500 to file. Yeah. So, but I love my accountant to death, right? And so that's going to kind of transition into our last topic, which is uptime versus downtime, which... if we're not ready to go there yet, that's fine.
No, we're.
But one of the ways, so like accountants aren't naturally proactive in their cheerleading financial sense, and so one good thing to look for, a green flag in accounting, is if your rep is not your accountant. If you can find an accounting firm where you have a rep that is your cheerleader, and they're not the ones actually counting the beans. They're communicating your intentions to the bean counters. That helps a yeah, ton.
It does.
So that's the way our accountant is we have a rep. We communicate everything to them. We tell them everything. We tell them what we want. And my this is going to sound weird. I don't do what my accountant says. My accountant does what I say. And that's another big green flag in accountants. My second accountant that I had, I ended up firing him because he was trying to tell me how to run my business. I threw a Christmas party for my guys, took them all to a big concert, bought them all dinner, we got a party bus. So nobody was drinking and driving.
Woo-woo.
I mean, it was a cool end of year celebration. Okay. My accountant made me 1099 all of my guys for their own Christmas party. He was convinced that this is a form of a bonus to your employees, and you have to record this as income for them.
Dog, you fired.
And he got fired after
dog,
that.
Dog, you fired.
And we were it was too late in the year. I mean, obviously Christmas parties are in December.
Yeah. You're letting him do the next year's taxes.
So
yeah.
Well, so I let him do those taxes yeah. for that year. And he, I mean, I didn't have a chance to change his mind. Like he flat out said, I will not do it any other way. And I said, you're wrong. And this will be the last time you do my taxes. And so I let him 1099 my guys. I took the amount. I found out how much tax is on that. I went to my own personal bank account and I got out cash and I handed everybody cash
for the 1099
for the
price.
Taxable implications that come with 1099ing them for their own Christmas party.
I mean, what a dickhead.
Right, right.
Like, I don't even know if anyone in the IRS would be like, okay.
No, it's...
It's bullshit, it's what it is.
He's wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... I mean, I'm not going to go, like, figure out what tax code it is or everything else, but I've never been 1099'd for a Christmas party. Like, a Christmas party is a glorified pizza party in the business. Right?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, has your employer ever 1099'd you for the 14 slices of pizza you've eaten over the years?
Yeah. Hey guys, we got lunch in the office today. Everybody come in.
Yeah, everybody sign in because we gotta tax you for this.
How many pieces did you have, you fat ass?
Yeah.
I'm 1099 for 8 pieces.
You had pepperoni, that's more expensive than cheese. Like, I mean,
what a douche.
Right. And so that's what I and that guy was my liaison and my accountant, right?
Yeah.
And so I left him and I got a new firm. In the new firm, I have like a rep. And then they have accountants that I don't even see. And so I tell my rep what I want. And then they go make it happen with the other people.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that doesn't mean I tell them to break the law. Like, they can't break the law. But what it does mean is if my rep says, I think you should pay $3,000 in quarterly taxes, and I know I have something coming up that I may not have told him about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't, my rep doesn't make me pay the $3,000. It's a recommendation, right?
Yeah, you don't have to pay those. So, it, like, I get, not Tradewinds, but David, mm-hmm. like his at the end of the year, my accountant gives me four vouchers, mm-hmm. first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. Hey, this is what we think you're going to pay if your financials match last year.
Yeah.
Do I have to pay him? Well, no.
Right.
But it's my job to give these to you.
Yeah.
So that you know that, like, this is what's going to happen. And if I don't get, like, if I don't sell a bunch of, I'll give some personal information away here. If I don't sell a bunch of dividend stocks in the first quarter and I don't make over X, I don't pay that.
Right.
If in the second quarter I'm like, oh, hell, they're up. Yes. I'm writing that check.
Yeah.
You know, for X amount of dollars.
In your business, like my accountant will actually, my current accountant will tell me, like, you should make this quarterly payment. They'll actually give it to me both ways. They'll like, because you have to pay interest. You have to pay penalties and interest if you don't do your quarterly payments. But penalties and interest is not a scary word. Penalties and interest is very similar to a speeding ticket. If it's punishable by fine, that means it's legal for a cost.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people joke around about that. Like, well, I can speed then because I just pay the speeding ticket. You're right. But eventually they take your license. Right. But like with taxes and accounting, if I don't pay my quarterly payment, then I'm quote unquote punished with interest.
If you made it, if you owed that money.
If you did end up owing
it. But if you didn't end up owing that money, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No penalties and interest.
But also, that interest is very small. And I'm in control. If I don't pay
It's tiny.
Yeah. And if I don't pay the quarterly payment and I hold that, and then I'm able to double that money in the business by investing it into material and then installing the material or whatever, or investing it into advertising and now I got more leads coming in or something like that, well, now it actually made financial sense for me to not pay the quarterly payment, hold on to that money, double the money, and then go make the payment with interest.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think that's why it's set up that way.
Right.
Is so that there is flexibility, because people, I think even the tax code and business owners are smart enough to know what, when, where, and how,
mm-hmm.
and then how that's going to flush out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's built to be flexible in that situation. Like you were saying, it's not like the speeding ticket where after 10, they take my license. No, they just keep charging you.
They're making extra money.
Yeah.
Like they don't mind.
As long as they're getting the money, they don't care.
Right.
But then there's that one year where it's, oh, well, we tanked in the first two quarters. Like they technically owed us money.
Right.
You know, so that at the end of the year, none of that freaking mattered. There is no penalty.
Yeah,
there
balances out.
There is no interest. Yeah, it all balances out.
Yep.
You know.
That's probably about it for red flags and green flags on accountants. The last thing that we want to touch on is it's at this point in your business where you're going to start to realize uptime versus downtime.
But before you say that, mm-hmm. let me say this. The reason for all of those things is because of uptime and downtime.
Yes. Yeah.
The whole reason of everything we just talked about is because of uptime and downtime.
Yeah. And so uptime is when you are doing your craft in the business and you are bringing in dollars. Downtime is when you're working on the business and it brings in no money. Okay.
Yeah.
So for instance, if I go out and install a water heater, that's uptime. If I come back to the house and I do all of the scheduling and all of the managerial work and all of the bookkeeping for that water heater, that's downtime. And my time is limited, and I am far more valuable during uptime than I am downtime. Right. And so there are people that are afraid to spend money in business, and they don't realize that you're literally buying your time back if you spend money the right way. Dan Martell has a book called How to Buy Your Time Back, and it's literally the whole premise of the book is to find out what your hourly rate is, not your hourly rate that you charge. Like, what are you worth per hour as an individual? And then once you know what you're worth per hour as an individual, now you know how to value your time. And there are a lot of business owners that are worth hundreds of dollars an hour as an individual that are wasting time doing $20 an hour tasks. So, for instance, I have a virtual assistant in my business. We've renamed her to a virtual professional. She's not an assistant. Like,
she's a VP, bitch.
Yeah, VP. But she's actually over in the Philippines, and I pay about $1,900 a month, and I get her for 40 hours a week. And she is a clerical wizard. Any small, tedious computer thing that requires a lot of data entry and a lot of clerical work, she is so fast at it.
Yeah, she makes us look retarded.
Yes. Like we were talking about it earlier today, I'll fumble around. Like, I'm pretty savvy in Excel. I'll still fumble around an Excel sheet for an hour, and she'd be like 10 minutes and done. She's just super efficient at it.
Does she message you, hey, bitch, get off the... I can see you're in Excel. Yeah. Get the fuck out of there. I got this.
And so, like, the reason I brought her on, yes, it's $1,900 a month. Cool. I don't care. Because she saves me so much time. All those nights that I was spending doing all of my number crunching and analyzing numbers for the business, I bought all those nights back for $1,900 a month because she does it all now.
Yeah.
And now I wake up every morning to a very detailed report of everything that happened in my business yesterday and how we're projecting for the month and how we're projecting for the year every day.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet.
It gives you time to go out on the boat tonight.
Yes.
It gives you time to go on date night on Wednesdays.
Yes.
It gives you time to avoid my phone calls on Thursdays and Fridays.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But it, like, to your point, we have a bunch of guys in TradeWinds that have virtual assistants. It is amazing how much they can do and how much time that you can save.
Right.
To the up-down versus uptime versus downtime, mm-hmm. like for us specifically, like how much time do I want to spend in QuickBooks?
Right.
Zero.
Right.
Can I make sales? Can I coach our guys in TradeWinds? No.
Right. Right.
I'm not as productive as I can be when I'm wasting my time on piddly shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the white trash way to say it. Right?
Yeah. And where this is going, we've referenced this other book called The E-Myth Revisited. And The E-Myth Revisited basically talks about building your company on paper first. Like, what does your company look like in its completed state? Do you have a president? Do you have a vice president? Do you have a CEO? Do you have a COO? All those things. Do you have a operations manager and a general manager and a sales manager? How many technicians do you have? How many installers do you have? CSRs, dispatchers, the whole thing, right? Marketing teams, everything. And so, okay, there's the vision. There's the whole company. There's all 40 employees or whatever. Cool. You, when you're starting out, you are all 40 of those employees. And and so when we talk about buying your time back, when you're small and you're a one-man shop, you can handle all 40 of those roles. You can be the marketing guy because marketing only takes you 10 minutes a day. You can be the numbers guy because numbers only take you 10 minutes a day because you're doing them for yourself. But then as you grow, and you put job descriptions underneath all those roles too. Now as you grow, you start running out of time. The numbers become harder to stay up with now that you have three guys instead of just one. The bookkeeping becomes harder to stay up with. Yeah. You can't answer the phone and run all the service calls at the same time. And so as you grow, you're identifying the role that is the cheapest to fill that buys you back as much time as possible. So in a home service business, one of the first roles you're going to fill is a CSR role, somebody to answer the phones for you because you can't answer the phone and talk to this customer at the same time, right? You can't talk to a potential customer on the phone while trying to sell a repair to an actual customer that's standing in front of you. And so you're going to bring on a CSR. And let's just use round numbers. I'm going to pay the CSR $15 an hour because my time's worth well over that. And now I've bought back my time. Now I have a CSR to answer all the phone and do some clerical stuff. And now I can focus all of my time more on uptime now. I'm not downtime doing CSR stuff.
Yeah.
So understanding uptime versus downtime and what hours you make money and what hours you don't. And I'm not talking clock hours. I'm talking about, like, over the last hour, did you make money or were you just working on the business? instead of in the business, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to understand those is huge into your success. So don't be afraid to spend money. Don't be afraid to hire virtual assistants. Don't be afraid to hire accountants. Don't be afraid to hire CSRs. All of that helps you grow. And it puts you in a position to spend more time in the up position in your business. So
probably can't say any better than that.
Yeah.
That was a great summary.
So that's going to wrap us up for the rehash of core episode number 5, this show being 205. So we will keep doing all of these core episodes. We have 4 more to get through with the 9 core episodes. And so if you want kind of a preview of next week's show, go watch original episode number 6. And then you're going to get our rehash next week of what that's going to be. So until next time, guys, we will see you later.